Hey, Cleaning Nation, ever listen to the show and think, if I could just get this guy to help me out, I would save so much time and frustration, or my life would be awesome if I could just get a few of these systems they're actually talking about actually implemented in my business? Well, if that's you, I've got some spectacular news. I am hosting our first ever live event. We are personally going to walk through the Clean Profit Method with no more than 16 owners of cleaning companies in just 2.5 days. I cannot wait to get to know you and your business personally and implement the entire Clean Profit Method together. If this is scratching where you itch, stop watching or listening to the show right now and go to growmycleaningcompany.com/live to get all the details. Like I said, I can't wait to get to know you and your business personally and implement the entire Clean Profit Method. growmycleaningcompany.com/live. Check it out now. I'll see you soon. Cleaning Nation, welcome to another episode of the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast. Today, I have my new best friend, and yes, I have a whole story behind that. I'll tell you in a second. Michael Brown from Swept. These Yahoos are calling all the way from the ends of the earth at Halifax, Nova Scotia. For you geography losers, that is in Canada, believe it or not. I think he still speaks English. We'll find out in a second. If you want to get a hold of Michael and his team and their amazing product, you can go to sweptworks.com. Don't go there yet because we have a super secret web address that we're going to share at the end of the podcast. So I guess you can go to sweptworks.com if you want to be with the rest of the rabble. But if you want to get the super cool Cleaning Nation address, hang out with us for a little bit. Michael, so good to talk to you today, brother.
Thank you. Great to be here. And I will say, I definitely speak English. The question being from Canada is, do I speak French?
Yes. See, my wife as a Frenchie would know that. And now I'm pissed off because I speak for a living and I think your English is better than mine and you're a foreigner. So now I don't know where to go from here and you look better than I do, quite frankly. So that was rude. I'm just going to say right off the bat, we're not off to a good start. I'm uncomfortable. Hopefully the audience is really angry towards you at this moment. And I have to share a little inside joke. I'll share with Cleaning Nation. Every 17th show, I'll go, hey, welcome my new best friend. If I'm talking to a guest and I'm kind of feeling their vibe, whoever. And I did that. And one of my one-on-one clients, we'll just call him Dave, which is his first name. But when I give his last name, he sent me a hilarious email like, what the heck? I thought that was me. And now I'm just nobody. And you know, who is it? So Dave, we're still cool. This is show business. I'm pretending Michael's my new best, but it's really you, Dave. Don't worry.
Well, the way you treat us, I don't know if I want to be your best friend.
I know, Michael. Yeah. Who says I'm even up for this ridiculousness? You're lucky I'm even talking to you on the show. New best friends, like a big stretch. What's one of those things you can say? Who's gonna say, hold on, Mike, I've got a lot of friends that are like way ahead of you. You're 15th on a good day. See, most guests are too nice, but you're like, no, I'm calling you out for your crap. Gosh, I'm guessing there's probably like more than a 12% chance people didn't call in to hear Mike and my, or Michael and my's friend ranking of one another. Although now we know that he's number one or two behind Dave, and I'm hoping to crack the top 20. But we got a couple minutes. In this time, I'll see if I can slowly move up the range and not be such a loser. All right, I've been talking for what feels like 17 minutes. I'm going to shut up. Michael, you have the coolest story ever. Actually, I'm not going to shut up. Let me just tell a quick background story of how I got to meet these guys, and then I will shut up because Michael's got much more interesting things to say than I do. For some reason, I know the reason, because you guys are such an amazing community. And just amazing. They reached out to, I don't know if it was Michael or his people, but they reached out, feels like a year ago, but it probably wasn't, 6 months to a year ago, because they're doing an event, and said, hey, would you come hang out, speak at our event, yada, yada, yada. And being the greedy money guy I am, I said, yes, I will. And that's what happened. And we honestly had a blast. I didn't get to, Michael wasn't there, but I think it was Toby and, what's my other friend, the other partner?
Matt.
I'm so sorry, Matt. Don't let Matt listen. Edit that out. And my second best friend, Matt. I remember you, buddy. You're awesome. With this big beard. We had such a good time. Anyway, and ever since then, we've kind of been really friendly because they're a very cool company. The stuff that they have going on is a lot of what I teach. They kind of embodied in their company. And hopefully what I teach works for their audience. Anyway, we had them on a couple months ago. It was a ton of fun. We got a lot of positive feedback. And now we're back. So as promised, I will shut up. That's my version of the story. What's going on in your world? How did we meet? Why are you here? What is going on?
I mean, that's pretty accurate. I mean, when we first connected you on the phone, maybe that discussion is why I didn't show up to the event, but I heard the event was good. I wasn't sure if I was ready to really spend that much time with you, but
you are.
But here I am. No, it's we have great alignment in the fact that we both own cleaning companies and we're in different positions now helping other people grow theirs with, different techniques, we're software, you're coaching, but the way they mesh just seemed to really make sense for us.
Yeah, and it's funny, you would think, because it was a kind of brutal schedule. We were in Texas and did three, I think it was like San Antonio, Dallas, what was the other one? I forget, but the three Austin. Big cities, Austin. I don't know, I just got on the plane and went where you guys told me, but I went to three cities, and it was kind of a city a day. You would think at the end we'd be, and it was a huge, you know, there's a bunch of people, and we're talking, which, you know, we're exhausted. But at the end of the day, like nerds, we're at the sports bar, like talking business. Matt was just telling me like how you guys came up and how your business was. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's exactly, you would be my perfect client when I was coaching. And he's like, oh my gosh, the stuff that you teach is exactly what we're hoping our customers do. So we nerded out after long days, still having nachos, which I think I made Matt buy. So that was very cool. I'm $12 now. Anyway, it was just a really cool event, and you would think, you know, we'd both go to our rooms and just be like, leave me alone, I want to go die. But we hung out like nerds all night and had fun. So
I think that is the thing in this industry, is like, there's so much pride in sharing the war stories. Like, we're all in it, and you know, everyone has a slightly different take, but the sharing of the war stories like really seems to bring people together.
Yeah, and it did. And just for the record, since I forgot Matt's name for 9 seconds, Michael was at home in bed relaxing comfortably while we're out there, you know, humping for the Sweat family. But, you know, whatever. You know, some people...
We made it, right?
But here we are. And now Matt's probably relaxing off somewhere at a beach. We're working, you know, trying to create amazing content for you good people. All right. So last time we talked a lot about your story. So I'm going to link in the show notes page to the first episode, because I think we talked a lot about how they, because you guys, just give us a, I don't want to go into the same thing and have, you know, duplicate the episode, but give us a 60-second story of just your cleaning company that you had. And in this episode, I want to focus more on how to build a tech company. And again, I know this is a cleaning company deal, but I promise you the way that they're building their company, we're going to figure out that absolutely applies to what you're trying to do in your cleaning business. So that said, just give us a 60-second synopsis of the cleaning business.
Yeah, absolutely.
Deep into, so go ahead.
I'm non-technical. I've owned a couple construction type companies. Matt, my business partner, he has a technical background. We said, what industry do we want to go into? Leveraging my business side, his technical side, and it was cleaning. And so we built the cleaning company. The whole goal was we're going to build software for ourselves and not share it. It'd be our, you know, secret weapon. And we'd go city to city to city and take over the world. You know, flash forward, what happened was, by the time we made it to our third city, so many of our competitors were saying, you know, I lost another bid to you. Like, I've been around 30 years. What's going on? Like, what do you guys have? We realized that the software we built was really valuable. So we sold our cleaning company and now just focus on, you know, supporting who, you know, was our competitors. And we're in multiple countries all around the world now, tens of thousands of users. So that's the kind of path that we took, but really focused on adding value in the janitorial industry. We're just doing it now very differently than we started out.
Yeah, beautiful. I love that story. It's such a fun story. And to vouch for Michael's lack of technical ability, we did spend 3.5 minutes before he started recording trying to figure out his microphone, but he sounds delightful. So I'm so petty. I'm like, don't worry about the microphone. I'll sound fantastic, and you know, you'll sound like you without a mic, but whatever. But sadly, they did get it figured out. And now not only does he sound fantastic, but he looks better, like a total jerk. So, you know, I guess I'll just have to, this is my life now. All right. So tell me about, how do you guys, cause I know where this transition to me, cause I'm a huge nerd, is so fascinating. From, it must've taken a while to go from we clean things for money to the secret sauce we have, we're going to sell it. And then that secret sauce, walk me through the transition. Cause I guess the product offering, the pricing, the way that you marketed, what you offered, how you offered it when you started is probably unrecognizable from today.
Yeah. And I think, so what happens is you build something. And I think about it, like when you're a cleaning company and you focus on offices, people start asking you, can you do windows? Can you do this? They start asking for other things. And you have to assess as a business owner, do I really want to go down that path? And do I want to be a jack of all trades? Do I want to just do office? Do I want to just do home? And there's a lot of questions. So I think for us, what happened was we kept getting questions on, would we license software? And I'm thinking to myself, I don't even know how to license software. Like, I don't know what that looks like. Like, we built this for ourselves. And so once we heard enough people asking, you just start to listen, right? You have enough people saying that they want this. And so we did a transition. We worked with a coach. We did a transition of really looking at what would our business model look like? what kind of funding and you know, you have to raise capital in the software side of things. How much do we need and all the rest? And in about a 2 week period, we drew a line and said, you know, this is going to be our new business model. And it was 3 months before we, you know, really started to get moving. But that was the time period and just a lot of, you know, questions for ourselves. It's very different if you want to sell janitorial services in a city to selling software around the world. But it was fairly quick.
Hey, Cleaning Nation, are you enjoying the show? Want to go from listening to doing? If you're committed to making this the year that you kick your company into hypergrowth and actually start implementing all the systems that I coach on this show that will allow you to work on your business instead of in it, go to growmycleaningcompany.com/live to get all the details on our upcoming live event. I'm going to personally walk you and 15 other entrepreneurs through the entire Clean Profit method in just 2.5 days. growmycleaningcompany.com/live. Check it out now. I'll see you soon. So one thing I want to make sure I point out, because I don't want to have this sound different than when I'm coaching. So what Michael, I want to call you Mike because I'm so arrogant. That's my name. Well, Michael did not say was, hey, we're constantly getting feedback from customers about doing different things. And we did every damn one of them. If a customer said he wanted that, that's what we did. And then they wanted something different. We switched to that. What I heard him saying is we probably got, I'm guessing, dozens of wacky, will you do this? Will you do that? Can you come this? And you said no to 97% of them.
Yep.
You really hard targeted the one shift that you made. And I mean, 2 weeks to me is extraordinarily quick. And then a 3 month burn period on that. So probably took a year to really fully make that transition. I love that, but I love picking your battles because so many of my clients and me, unfortunately, get that shiny object syndrome. Oh my gosh, there's a pretty butterfly and we're just gone. So I don't hear you saying you did that. I do hear you saying you were very strategic about the you picked your spots.
You have to know, when you think about for every level, your employees, how they're viewing, like the company has to have some form of focus. And there's nothing wrong with expanding out in other areas, but it has to make business sense. And I think all too often, as a business owner, you know, you own your cleaning company and you're wearing your heart on your sleeve. You're going out and saying, like, you quote the job, you win it, you build that relationship. And the client's like, you guys are amazing. Can you just do this one more thing? It's that one more thing, if you actually don't want to, that throws off your business because you're not used to doing it. You do it for one customer here, you do something different over there. At the end, you have this mixed match of a company that you can't sell.
Or even worse, you do want to do it. You're like, I'd love to do it. We're going to make a ton of money on it. But you only do it, like you said, twice in certain circumstances. And you realize, hopefully, sooner than later, there's other people that do this full time that are awesome at it. And I suck at it part time, kind of pretending.
Exactly.
So tell me about the train. So the software, when you first started, I wish, you know, it's almost like, you know, they have that Wayback Machine .com where you can see all these websites. Like when they first started, I would love to see the first version of your software when you started versus now. I'm sure it's not even, I'm sure you'd be embarrassed. Like, oh my, don't look at it. Don't look at it. So what did you kind of start with? And what, so that didn't stop right at the beginning. Your customer said, hey, you're okay at cleaning, but the software's amazing. Can we give you money for that? And you said, yes, you can. And I'm guessing the software that you had was pretty good for just you guys and your little universe. But now that you've got thousands of users, I guess it's just totally different. So walk me through some of the, like, we were going this direction and boy, were we wrong. They wanted that.
Yeah. So I think one of the big things that we learned was, so the first thing is everyone saying, I want this. They didn't even really know what they wanted yet. They just knew they were losing to us on quotes. They were losing to us, you know, and they were hearing about it. So for us, we launched a product based on doing a bunch of interviews. We asked a lot of our clients, or potential clients at that point, you know, what are your main pain points? What are we trying to solve for? And we launched a product that focused on communication, but it lacked in other areas. Because
hold on, before you go on, you said something really important and I want to dig in more. I'm constantly telling my people, I think step three in the Clean Profit method is the perfect prospect survey, which is, I love when successful people, you certainly weren't in the Clean Profit method at the time, didn't exist, but you're doing the right things. I have a bear of a time getting my clients to do that. I constantly say, ask them what they want. I even create the survey for customers and it's 4 pages. Here's exactly the questions to ask. Not that you have to stay there, but here's a roadmap. It's super easy. And the feedback I get is they don't want to talk to me. I can't get in. How do I do it? How many interviews did you do face-to-face? How many did you do virtually? And how'd you get people to say yes?
So we did a lot, not many face-to-face, just because we didn't want to just look at our region. We wanted to look at all over the world. And basically what we said was, you know, we're going to be building software here. You know, we kind of give our background. We're looking to reposition the company. would you be interested in, you know, sharing your feedback? What are your pains as a business owner? And so it's kind of conversations like this. And what I found that's really interesting is someone will have a pain or they'll have something that frustrates them, and they'll say, I just want it to do this. And if you were to go build that one discrete thing, it might not actually make sense. Or someone will be asking, like, I want to look at a report. I want to print my reports. Well, do you want to print your reports, or do you want to have them sent to your phone? And they're two different things. And so it's fascinating. You ask questions, and sometimes you lead people to an answer that they think is correct, but you haven't asked enough probing questions to really find out what are they trying to solve, right? And so I think that's important when you're going through these interviews and going through, make sure, sometimes people ask for things that they want, but they actually aren't willing to pay for, or they're not asking or communicating effectively.
Yeah, they're not communicating effectively is huge. Go ahead.
Yeah, you can end up going down a wrong path trying to solve something for someone, and like, oh, it's not really that big of an issue.
Well, it's always like features and benefits, right? People don't want air conditionings in cars. They want to not sweat, right? So a lot of times they'll be like, oh, I need air conditioning that blows 43 degrees and this, and they don't really want that. They just want to stop sweating. So you got it. Really what your customers wanted was to stop losing bids to you. And if they could do that, stop losing bids to everybody, that's really what they wanted. And it was your job. The genius is figuring out a tool that really does that. So they don't know how to do that. So they'll say stuff like, give me this report or that report or print here and this wazoo thing. But really what they want is to win more bids.
Exactly. Yep.
Right, so how'd you get people to say yes? Or how many times did you have to ask for this kind of a conversation? How many no's did you get? How many yes did you? Because again, people get bummed out. They'll call three people who are like, yeah, I'm not interested, or give them the bums rush, and they quit. Obviously you didn't do that. Talk to me about that.
I love framing up in my mind, what am I expecting? Before I even hit that phone, let's say I'm going to call 100 people. 50% of them, it's going to go to voicemail. We're not even going to reach them. You know, then I just keep going down. So I say, you know what? I really expect to have 10 quality phone calls with people. I'm going to have a lot of no's, a lot of gatekeepers, all the rest. And so what I find is people after 30 calls, and they have two that actually went through, and they might be amazing, but they get discouraged. I'm like, it was expected that this was going to happen. Most people are not going to do this. And so I think for me, and I try to teach this with my own team, and it's amazing for, you know, cleaning business owners, they're always looking for more leads, but that hard work does pay off. And what you can do is just kind of iterate on your message a little bit. I would highlight from an Excel spreadsheet. It's free, Excel spreadsheet. And if someone said, you know, no, I would ask why. And I would highlight, can I call you back? And you're kind of working through this. And it's amazing. When someone said no, I highlighted it in gray. And I have gray, 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 gray over and over again. You can kind of feel yourself getting down. As soon as I had one that was yellow that said they would take an interview, more yellow in the next 10 calls would come up. So I'm realizing it's not these people, it's me. Staying in the right mindset really helps cold calling.
See, if you would have gotten out of your comfy bed in Nova Scotia, actually, I think you were in Silicon Valley at the time, but in Bin, we would have absolutely nerded out together, because these are the kinds of conversations that Matt and I had. Stupid stuff like the color of the yes and the no. And is it like, oh, if you just change it from gray to yellow, your conversions will go up 20%. No, but the mindset of gray represents bad and negative and whatever, and yellow is happy. Yep. The understanding of that is huge. And the first thing that you said that I'm like, this, if you were my client, I would have, not that the rest wasn't good, but as soon as you said, if I'm going to make 100 calls, I'm like, this is the right guy. Because no one else says that. They're like, you told me I need to get 5 interviews, so I will call 6 people. And if that doesn't work, it's a failure. And it's like, well, no, it's simple. It's not easy. So just and you said pre-frame. You didn't pre-frame, I'm going to call 5 people, and if I don't get at least 2 or 3 amazing interviews, this is a total failure. Okay, maybe you have to call 100 people, like you said, to get the 5 good conversations. Maybe it takes, God forbid, 2 days. Like, really? We're building a company here for
I know. Long term, right?
So I just love that. Again, it's so funny when I talk to people for 10, 15 minutes, mostly it's prospective clients. So it's kind of fun to talk to someone that's in a different place. Immediately, you start getting these cues of, oh my gosh, this guy's successful or not successful. So even if I didn't know the success of your business, when I hear stuff like, I pre-frame, I had a spreadsheet, I wrote down, if yes, then this, if no, then that. I expected to make 100 calls. I pre-frame myself for 96 of them to go poorly. Just these things. I'm like, this guy is, the way he's thinking is successful. So please, Cleaning Nation, hear. And again, this is, if you're going, well, this doesn't make any sense, I don't want to do any perfect prospect surveys. That's not the point. Anytime you attack something, we expect it's going to take X amount and it really takes Y amount, but Y amount's still a fantastic deal. You know, it's like the knucklehead that's like, I build my business entirely from referrals and they cost me nothing. And you want me to do a Facebook ad, it costs me $100 to acquire a customer. Well, how much does a customer, average customer pay? $250 for residential. Okay, so that $100 is a problem. Well, I can get them for free. Yeah, how many referrals did you get last month? I got 3. Fantastic. You can get 4,000 from Facebook. So save your $100 a customer, you knucklehead. It's just the thinking. So I just love dealing with people. And so mindset, right? People get caught up in, should I advertise in Thumbtack? Should I advertise in Facebook? Should I do direct mail? Should I blah, blah, blah? If your mindset is, I'm going to send out 3 things and risk nothing in terms of time or money, doesn't matter what you do, it's going to fail. If you say, I'm going to make this work, if it kills me trying, real good chance you're going to succeed and people get caught up in the wrong things. I would love your thoughts.
You know, one thing I used to do, well, I still do it, I just in a different context, I block time for revenue. So revenue growth focused time. So it may be every day or maybe it's once a week. I'm going to allow myself 3 hours. And in that time, I'm not answering emails. I'm not taking phone calls. I'm only thinking about how can I increase my revenue? So for example, someone asked me to do, you know, carpet cleaning, and maybe I don't do carpet cleaning, but I'm going to do that one contract. If I feel that that's a great opportunity in that 3-hour period, I start looking at how many clients do I have? How many could I offer this to? What would this look like? And I start mapping out, should I even do this once? And I think that business owners do not allow themselves, like they don't give themselves permission to actually take that time to grow their business. Like this is not rocket science. It's creating the space so you can dedicate your time to thinking about growing. And most people don't do it.
And it's so funny. I'm positive you've not been through the Clean Profit Method. We've talked a little bit superficially, but not about any of the topics that we're talking about. You've already hit 2 of the first 9 things I asked you to do in the first 3 steps. It's just because, and it was boxing time. You call it blocking time, I call it boxing, but that's right in the first step, because if you can't control your time, again, it doesn't matter how good the opportunity is. If you can't control your time, quit. If you can control your time, gosh, even if your opportunity sucks, I just love talking to other business owners. I'm like, that's exactly what I've been telling people. And I love hearing other smart guys tell Cleaning Nation the exact same thing coming from a different space.
Hey, Cleaning Nation, there was just too much good stuff to cram into one tiny episode. Tune into the next podcast for the continuation of this amazing special edition with guest expert Mike Brown from Swept. We'll see you there.
Congratulations, you are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies, as well as industry experts, can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer, Natalie, at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.